Welcome to the Discover You podcast, where we take a deep dive into who you are and why you do what you do. If you're ready to learn how to be a better you, you're in the right place. And now, the host of Discover You, James Hooper.
Good day, everybody. I just wanted to take a few minutes to sit down, and I haven't put out a podcast in quite a while, and I wanted to put one out, and just a little short one, to talk about a subject that has been something that has been part of my life for, well, all of my life, as far as I can remember. So I deal quite a bit with depression and anxiety. Growing up, my mother said I was a very serious kid. I wasn't one of those wild kids that did frivolous, what I would call frivolous things, which most people call just mostly childish things. I dealt with adults more in my life and that sort of thing, but I have a melancholy temperament. And so I'll have times when I'm really up and really excited, really energized, really going, and then I'll have a really down time, a time that I crash, and they used to be a lot more extreme. Well, I say they used to be. They seem to be a lot more extreme in the past when I was younger than they are now. However, since I began pastoring churches, it seems to kind of intensify it a little bit more. When I have a lot more responsibilities and those sort of things, it kind of affects me. So having that melancholy temperament, I'm very, you know, a lot of things, I just take things very intensely. And then also, I'm very analytical. I'm very introverted as well. And so I have this dichotomy of I want to be by myself, but only to a certain point. And then I have to be around people. Now, I don't have to interact with those people, but I have to be around people to gain energy. I get energy from being around people, and especially when I'm in a serving environment, when I'm really helping someone. I did a food distribution event a few days ago. And when I'm in that situation, I'm high as I get, really high. My mom and I say we get high on people. And it's not so much that we have to carry on these interactions or these long dialogues, long conversations. We're not into that really. I am with people I know, but when I don't know you really well, I just rather, you know, have a little short conversations, little short bursts, and then I'm done, and then move on to the next person, that sort of stuff. I'm not a great networker in the fact that in a room with people, if I know them, well, let me revise that. When it's my territory, it's my turf. Say I'm in a church, I'm at a church meeting, or like at my church. When I'm around people in church, I'm on, because that's my ground. That's my territory. And so I can work the room. I can go from here to there and talk to people and that sort of thing. But it only lasts for, you know, an hour, 2 hours at the most. And then I'm pretty much done and I need to be by myself and that sort of thing. Well, then add on to that, I deal with and I'm plagued with anxiety. Now, I believe in the God could deliver me from it, and he will. I'm believing he's going to deliver me from it. But this is just a truth telling. That's all this podcast is a truth telling. So I wanted to just kind of tell my truth. So typically when you get my age, I'm 56, I'll be 57 in a few weeks. Actually next week on the 26th of April, I'll be 57. When you get into your 50s, You don't sleep through the night. You have to wake up and go to the restroom. Well, that's my downfall, because once I come back to bed, then my mind starts working and it'll start going and start analyzing things and I start seeing things very darkly, start seeing failure. I start seeing me failing at things falling through the cracks. Oh, I forgot this and I forgot that. I can never do this. This is too much for me. That sort of thing. And if I don't watch it, it'll just build and build and build and build and build and build and build until I'm having a panic attack. My heart's racing. I'm perspiring. I'm breathing heavy. And most of the time, almost every time, I have to get out of the bed, go to the living room, get in my recliner. I open up my iPad and I go to the scripture and I start reading the scripture and I start looking at the scripture and reading it. And I've got some passages marked down that help me. I've got a little note application called Evernote, and I've got a notebook called When I Can't Sleep. And so I've just put different scriptures, different sayings, different quotes in that thing. And so I've got it bookmarked. I'll go straight to it and start looking through it, start reading it, or I'll just read scripture. I've got a daily reading plan that I do. So I'll just go ahead and do my reading plan and I'll do that. And inevitably, when you're reading the scripture, you're going to fall asleep. So I usually will fall asleep doing that. When morning comes, I wake up and it's all okay. That anxiety is not there. I don't see it darkly anymore. I see the hope. I see, I can do this. But when I'm in the middle of that anxiety, when I'm in the middle of those borderline panic attacks, sometimes it works into a panic attack, but usually it's just straight up anxiety. When I'm in the middle of that, then it really, I can't think hope. There's some reason in my mind, I can't think myself. And if I'm laying in bed, I don't want to wake Sharon up. So I can't think through that sort of stuff. Well, I'll get depressed periodically because of the fact that things aren't working right, something has gone wrong, and I'll go into a depression where I just want to go sleep. I just want to go to bed. I want to lay down. I want to sleep. And so just a few weeks ago, that happened to me. And Sharon, I went to bed early. For some reason, I was really tired. I was really down. I was in a funk, what I call it. I'm in a funk. And so I just told Sharon, I'm going to bed. I'm going to go ahead and go to bed early. And she kept watching television. Her and the dog were in the living room. So I laid down. And as I laid there, all of a sudden, that whole anxiety thing started happening. And then depression. And I could actually feel the weight of it laying down on my chest and on me like a big heavy blanket. I mean, like a real heavy quilt and blanket. And it's not the comforting kind, but like an oppressive kind of thing that just really pushes you down and that sort of thing. And so I just really began to feel that. And I laid there and I was fighting it. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, I need to call it out. I need to call it out. And so what I did was out loud, not yelling, but out loud, I said, no, no, we're not doing this. And I remembered a preacher named Jesse Duplantis. I don't know if everybody knows him, but I remember him. He would told a story of he was in an airplane and this attractive lady was coming on to him, was propositioning him. And he, to resist the temptation, he out loud said, Satan, get away from me. I rebuke temptation. Right out loud to her face. Well, that stopped her, of course. But it also, what happened was when I said, no, I'll not be depressed. I will not be anxious. Just bam, it was gone. And I realized, and I said, Satan, you will not cause me to enter into that depression. You will not cause me to be anxious tonight about anything. I expose you. I cancel your assignment. And I just begin to come against him. Now, I understand that there are mental, diseases and that sort of thing, and there are things that need medication. I'm not trying to negate that, but I'm saying that there's a spiritual element to it in my life. So let's just do that. Let's just say in my life, there's a spiritual element. Whether this speaks to you or not, that's up to you. So I believe when I called him out, he was brought out into the open. I exposed him and I said it out loud. As long as I keep my mouth shut and as long as I'm trying to fight it in my mind, it doesn't work. I've tried and tried and tried to fight it. I've tried to overcome it, to speak the scriptures in my mind. I've tried to speak it to the devil. In my mind, I've said, no, I'm not doing this. And it didn't work. my mind just kept going and going, and it just kept building and building and building and building, and I was sweating and my heart's beating. But that night, I said, no. And I didn't say it loud, scream it or anything yet, but I said, no, I'm not doing this. You're not going to depress me any longer. You're not going to afflict me with depression. You're no longer going to oppress me, and I'm not going to fall into this anxiety thing. And so I began to relax. I felt that weight come off, and I was able to go to sleep. Now, see, I haven't had it happen to me since then. I haven't had this depression, this state. I've been in a funk because of the melancholy thing. I've been this weekend, before this was this weekend, before this podcast was Easter. And so, of course, we're all holed up in the house. And so, you know, we can't, Sharon gets to go to work, but she's just walking across the parking lot next door to where she works. And so I work from home, and I work from home most of the times, but a lot of times I'll drive back and forth to Cedar Park where our church is. And so I've been having to stay at home. We've been doing church at home. I haven't been able to see people, that sort of thing. So it's been kind of compounding up on me that anxiety and that depression that tries to come on me because I'm an introvert. Hey guys, I just wanted to break away for a quick moment to remind you there are two different ways that you can actually help sponsor this podcast. Number one, you can go to the website for the book, the Discover You book, and the website is discoveryou-book.com, discoveryou-book.com. There's a link that will send you to Amazon, and for $9.99, you can have your very own copy. Secondly, in the description of this podcast, there is a link that you can click where you can go and set up a monthly monetary donation. Any amount would be great. Any amount would help us. So please consider sponsoring and help joining those that are already supporting us. I appreciate you guys for listening. And now back to the episode. I enjoy being by myself to an extent, but then I have to be around people. And take this statement, don't take it wrong, but I can't just be around Sharon. I love my wife. I love her immensely. But I need people. I need to be around people. She and I have had this discussion. She understands me. That's just the way I am. I'm built this way. I have to be around people for a certain period of time, and then I have to be by myself to get my recharge my batteries. Well, when I'm not able to be around people at all, and I don't get that fix or that get that energizing, my battery don't get recharged. The only way that happens is when I'm able to preach or to speak. So Sunday, so the weekend right before, because I was prepared, I had all the technology ready, I had the online thing scheduled, I had it all planned, had everything done, had my notes done, I was ready. So Saturday is usually what I call my Sabbath, and so I don't really do anything on Saturday. That's just kind of what my Sabbath. And so I actually read a book. I sat out on the porch. It was really nice. I sat out on the porch and read. I watched TV. I watched some cooking shows and that sort of thing. Just this and that. We just kind of took the day off. Well, as the day progressed, I started feeling that fog, that thing come over me. And all of a sudden, these thoughts start going in my mind that I don't have any business doing this. Because I wasn't doing anything right then. Look at you. You're not working at this. And also have this whole performance thing that the enemy has tormented me with. I always feel like I have to earn what I get. I have to earn everything, even if I'm prepared. Still, the enemy will fight me with it, said, oh, you've forgotten something. There's something. It's just a tormenting thing that the enemy fights me with. And so I deal with that. And it's a spiritual thing that I have to deal with. And so Saturday, he tried to just start weighing on me. And I was reading a book. It was a fiction book. And it's a good book. It was a good book. And I finished it. And it's just one of those things where I almost dreaded Sunday. Now, it was weird. I love what I'm doing. I'm passionate about what I'm doing, but I'm just giving you a glimpse inside of my head. Maybe you don't want to see there because it's scary sometimes, but I just want to give you a glimpse And I just began to feel inadequate. I began to feel disinterested, even. I began to feel like, I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be. And it was just one of those things that the enemy has tried to distract me with and tried to cause me to lose interest because of the fact that this is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm meant to do. But then Sunday morning, I got up, getting ready for this, getting ready for Sunday. It was going to be, it's Easter Sunday. Even though it's online, it's still a big deal. And so, but as the day progressed, it was okay. And then especially after we did our online service, things went really well. I had some new things going on my online thing. The scripture, I had the scripture coming up, and Sharon was actually working that out of the camera shot. She was working, putting the scriptures up on the screen. It worked really well. I felt good. I was able to minister and preach and speak the word. And when we finished, it was like, oh, that's awesome. And I felt so good. I felt really on it. And then I fixed lunch, which I do most of the cooking anyway, because I love to cook. I love to cook. And so I made lunch for us. And so I went straight to change my clothes because I was making spaghetti. So I didn't want to get sauce on it. So I changed clothes, put my apron on, went to cooking, prepping the veggies and doing all this stuff. And it was just wonderful. And so it's been great. And so yesterday I had a productive day. Today I've had a productive day. It's Tuesday today. So I've been really productive. And so I just felt like I wanted to spend that. I wanted to really, I've been debating about putting this podcast out, putting this video out. So if you're watching it on Facebook, it's also part of my podcast. You can subscribe to that. It's Discover You at DiscoverU-Book. Or you can go to Apple Podcasts and it's just Discover You by James Hooper. But you can go to DiscoverU-Book.com and there's the link to that. And I'll try to put the link also in the Facebook post so you can see this. But it's a part of my podcast. I put my podcast on hold probably a year ago. Yeah, probably a year ago, because I was going to take the summer off. And so it's been a while. But I really felt like I wanted to pick it back up. And I've got all this gear set up at the house. I might as well just go ahead and do it. So I just wanted to, my first one would be about me and depression, what I deal with depression, just to give you an insight. So that's how I dealt with it. That's what worked for me. I just exposed it when it was coming down on me. And I'm going to work on this next time I'm up in the middle of the night and it starts happening. I'm going to, even if I'm in bed with Sharon, I'm just going to try to say it where, of course, she's a pretty heavy sleeper. So where I'll just say it out loud, but not yell it, that, and expose the enemy. And I'm going to try that, see if it works for just for that anxious moments, those times that I go into panic mode, and just see how it works. But I really believe that it's going to be something that's going to work for me. So take that for what it's worth. I'm not a doctor. This is not this is not psychotherapy. It's just me and what I'm dealing with and how I deal with it. I had taken medication at one point. It really didn't do me much good. I was on a very light dose of something, but it didn't do me much good. And so I stopped taking it because I don't want to take any more. I'm already taking medicines for diabetes, so I don't want to be taking any more medication than I have to. And so that's what worked. So I've dealt with the depression. I deal with the anxiety. I deal with the melancholy, being up and down. And so I listened to John. I'm certified by John Maxwell as the part of the John Maxwell team. I can teach his stuff and things like that as a speaker and teacher and coach. And so I listened to a podcast, and one day he was talking about leaders that are inconsistent as far as emotionally. They're up and down. They're up and down. And he said, you'll never be a good leader as long as you're unstable emotionally. And I just got mad at him. I got mad at him. It's like, wait a minute. I'm a leader. I know I am born to be a leader, to take people places. And then he says that, and it's like, I know I have to work on it. I have to keep it more balanced. But I've been in management positions before. I've had bad days. I've had good days. Everybody has an up and down day. Everybody can't be consistent. But those people that have this real consistent personality, this real, they're all really on the their level and things like that. They can't see it. They can't see somebody like me being a leader. But I got mad at him and I quit listening to him for a while. I'm back to listening to him again because he's really good. But it's one of those things where I had to understand, no, see, he doesn't understand. Now, if I'm crazy, you know, if I'm crazy, I'm off the deep end one day and the other way the other day, I understand that. But having some variation in my personality, being up and down, not big ups and big downs, but, you know, being up and down because I've done it before, I believe I can lead people. And it'll be something that I'll have to deal with because I don't want people, you know, having to walk on eggshells around me. But it's just it's the way I am. It's my temperament. And the Lord has really helped me with it. He's really helped me balance it. But then when I entered into the pastoral work, into pastoring a church, it intensified a little bit more. And I know what it is. It's a spiritual warfare. It's something that the enemy's trying to fight me with to try to get me to stop and quit. Because in my past, I've been a quitter. I'm not afraid to admit it. In my past, I've been a quitter because some things that happened to me in my childhood, I wasn't made to finish things and I wasn't allowed to. And I've always done what came easy to me. I always did what came easy to me. And so I had to learn to deal with that. I had to learn to persevere through things. And I've done it. I've persevered through things. Heck, I've been married 33 years. Don't tell me I can't stick with something. I mean, that was a concern of mine before I got married. Can I stick with it? Can I stay with it? Because my parents were married 50 years, over 50 years before my dad passed away. So I had that thing up ahead of me. But when I got married to Sharon, we've been through some stuff. In fact, our relationship has been, we've had more intense times. We've been at each other more so now than we have been in the past. But for different reasons, Sharon used to never talk back to me, okay? She's developed it, her own personality. She's got her own mind now. Used to, she just went along with everything I said. But now she's actually speaking her mind, and good for her, but it's kind of creating stuff. But then I'm intense anyway, and she didn't come from a house of people that yelled all the time. Her father did somewhat, but her mother was very mild-mannered, and they just were a bunch of girls and stuff in the house. But I yell. I mean, I don't really yell. I get intense and my volume increases. And so when we were first married, we'd be talking. She said, "Stop yelling at me." I said, "I'm not yelling at you. You would know if I'm yelling at you because I'd be piercing your eardrums. I'm just intense because I get intense and I work up and my volume increases and I get da, 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 that sort of thing." And then, but she wasn't used to that, but she's kind of gotten used to that now. Now she's kind of adopted some of my practices. So she'll come back at me now. But it's been more intense since we started pastoring, and we recognize it for what it is. And we know we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Neither one of us are going anywhere. We've established that. We've said it's not going to happen. We understand. We know that we're supposed to be together. We're meant for each other. We were made for each other. We're totally opposites. I'm a risk taker. I'll drop off a cliff at just with any opportunity. And she's the overly super cautious person that wants to know everything that's going to happen before you ever look the direction you want to go. So we're so polar opposite on that way. And so we have to balance each other, and it causes attention. And so we have to work through that. And maybe sometime I'll bring her on the podcast and we can talk about it and she can get her side. But that's the way it is. That's where we've been lately. And it was disturbing at first until we realized what it was. That it was just an attack of the enemy trying to cause us to stop doing what we're called to do. And so it's not going to stop us. We're working on it. It is a struggle. Those of you that are not married yet, or haven't gotten married, it's wonderful. Marriage is awesome. Okay, marriage is phenomenal, but marriage is tough. It is tough. It is work. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. There is the ecstasy part of it. There's the awesome part of it. There'll be times that I'm just looking at that woman just so enamored with her. But then there are times that I want to pinch her head off. But see, that's what happens when you got two people living so closely together. You have two people that are intimate with one another and are totally open and honest with one another. That happens. But the thing is the rewards of that relationship, the fruit of that relationship, is an even deeper intimacy that you can enjoy as a couple. And nobody knows me better than my wife. Well, God knows me better than my wife, but nobody on earth, not my mother, because I haven't lived with her in 30-something years. Not my brother, not my sister. Nobody knows me as well as my wife, because I've lived with her longer and I've been more open with her than I've been with my family. I've told her things that I haven't told anybody else. And that's the way it is. That's the way this relationship is. So I'm not getting on relationships I'm talking about. But anyway, I got sidetracked. So just take that for what it's worth. I believe that it's something that you should try. Just try it. Just try. Sometime when you're under it, when you're really heavy under it, with anxiety or depression, something like that. You don't have to get crazy. I mean, I'm not saying go crazy and ballistic. I'm just saying out loud, say no. I'm not having this. I recognize you, Satan. I recognize what you're trying to do. And you have to stop right now. And just do that. Now, that's if you're a born-again believer. If you're, you know, if you're born again, then you have that authority. You might want to think about your relationship with God, because it's going to be beneficial having that relationship with your Creator. Okay? All right, well, thanks for listening and watching, whichever one you're doing, because I'm videoing and doing the audio. And hey, hit the subscribe button either on, because I'll be putting a link. This will be a link from a YouTube on Facebook. So subscribe to my YouTube channel and, you know, to be notified when I put stuff up, because my sermons go there. These kind of things go there. And also on the Discover You podcast, subscribe, rate it, review it and rate it. It makes a difference. People will be able to find it better if you do that. So if you go to iTunes, Stitcher, all the platforms that you listen to, it's on all of them. Rate it and review it, and let me know what you think. If you think it stinks, maybe not. But anyway, so I'll talk to you guys later, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Discover You with James Hooper. If you haven't already, please subscribe wherever you like to listen. You can also follow us on Twitter at DiscoverYouPod, or you can email us at DiscoverYouPod@gmail.com. Discover who you were meant to be.